You're listening to the Preacher to Preacher podcast. Last night was the first Wednesday night of the month, and as the church here in Plandealing has done ever since I can remember, when I was growing up here as a kid, we did not have a Bible study per se. We did close with a devotional thought from one of our deacons, but every first Wednesday night of the month for many, many years, we have had what we call a singing night. And there are many churches that I've worked with over the years that are been associated with that have these sort of singing nights where you just table standard Bible study Wednesday night, and you just take an hour or whatever time is allotted, and you just sing. And sometimes these nights are used for learning new songs. Sometimes they're used for letting young people learn to hone their skills at leadership, or maybe it's just a time to sing some old favorites and take requests. A lot of times people in the pews, they don't get a chance to put any input into what songs are sung during Sunday morning worship, and so this allows them to make requests, and it's just been a really good night. There's something I've observed over the last several years of ministry, and that is there are a lot of people who normally attend on Wednesday nights, make Bible class, that don't really make an effort to be here for singing nights. Last night, we've had a really good, since the first of this year, Wednesday night attendance. Our Wednesday night attendance has been the best it's been as far as I can remember. We've changed things up. We've added a meal that helps parents to not have to worry about cooking dinner and preparing. So we have a quick meal, and then we all go and have Bible class. We've over doubled our attendance on Wednesday night. It's been great. And then singing night, the first one rolled around, and again, we cut out the meal. We just came together and sang, and predictably, perhaps, the numbers were down. Now, to be fair, if you're experiencing the weather we're having last night on February the 1st, it was quite nasty. It was cold and rainy, so I'm certain some people stayed in for that. So I don't want to be unfair, but in general, I've seen the trend that singing nights often are neglected by church members. And I want to take just a few minutes and introduce this idea that singing night is important, and introduce some reasons why I think it's important, and also talk a little bit about some other things that will be coming out here in the near future. First of all, there's a man by the name of Wiley Dean, and many of you may know Wiley. Wiley does some singing workshops. He held one for us when I was at Mayfield, does a fantastic job. He's a tremendous song leader, loves to sing, loves to lead congregations in singing, and he loves to teach people how to sing. And he made a statement to me one time that just resonated. He said, we'd never let a man get in the pulpit and preach if he hadn't prepared himself, if he just got up there and sort of said, hey, let's try this sermon. And we hear that sometimes on a song. We hear a song leader get up and say, well, let's try number 247. He said, we'd never tolerate that when it came to our preachers. And he said, why do we do it when it comes to our song leaders? And I think he's right. Our singing is serious business. And one of the things I said to our congregation last night as we closed is I said, hey, thanks for being here on singing night, because it's very important that we hone our skills and we prepare ourselves and we learn new songs and we learn how to sing, because singing is such an integral part of our faith. Now, I mentioned I'm going to introduce a couple of things. One is at the end of this month, February, at the Waldo Church of Christ, I'm going to be directing a singing and worship workshop over the weekend. We're going to have a singing that Friday night and then have a couple sessions on Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday morning during the Bible class hour and worship, we're going to talk about singing. So it's on my mind, and it's something that we need to focus on, and I think is very important. I really appreciate the church there and wanting to make their singing better. The second thing is later on sometime in the next week or two, I've got an article coming out that I'm going to make an argument for a cappella worship. And today in our world, especially here in the South, most people see us, the Churches of Christ, as strange because we have a cappella worship. And I get asked this question all the time. You're the folks who don't have music. Why don't y'all have music? Do you not believe in music? Why don't y'all use music, et cetera? And I've had these discussions for many, many years. And here's, one thing that we're going to deal with in that article is that the thing about congregational singing versus what you would see in a lot of churches here in our area and throughout the world is that when we get together and sing as a congregation, There's absolutely, now that can happen, of course, if a song leader thinks he's better than he is or wants to show off how great he is, you know, but generally speaking, when you're talking about congregational singing, it is not performance based. It is where every person is called to contribute to that worship. And to me, this is exactly what the New Testament church is all about. And so a couple of things here that we want to observe. First of all, James said in James 5 and verse 13, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. Singing is an expression of what's inside of us. And so when we're mourning, when we have a funeral, we sing songs that deal with topics of heaven and life and death and loss. And, you know, we express what's inside, but also singing is an absolute expression of the joy and the celebration and the praise that we feel inside for the God that we love so much. And so James said, hey, if you're cheerful, you need to sing psalms. Let it out. Let the world know. And by doing that, you cheer other people up. There's two passages that many in churches of Christ have memorized. One is from Ephesians 5 and verse 19. The other from Colossians 3 and verse 16. I'd like to read them in their context as we finish this discussion up. But Paul says in both of these sister passages, he says in verse 17 of Ephesians 5, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I want you to notice here that Paul says that we should have a clear mind, and when we have this clear mind, we can be filled with the Spirit of God, not with wine, not in something that's going to, you know, destroy us, but something that gives us life from the inside out. And he says in that as a congregation, we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so singing is a communication between Christians. Yes, singing brings glory to God, and it, first of all, echoes towards heaven our praise and our love for God and our adoration, but it also is a communication between church members. This is why I always encourage everybody to sing. Someone says, I don't have a good voice. Doesn't matter. God's not listening to your voice. God is listening to your heart. Listen to the verse again. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Everyone has a heart. A man with no tongue, a man with no voice box has a heart. And that heart can bring forth praise. And that's what God's interested in. Now, in the sister passage in Colossians 3, Paul says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Notice here the fellowship and the love and the relationship between Christians. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. There's that phrase, Greek, one another, this idea of a back and forth to each other, them to you and you to them, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so again, Paul says, as we address God in our songs of praise and adoration, we're speaking to one another, we're teaching one another, we're admonishing one another, we're encouraging one another. And this is why Wednesday night, singing night, has been so important to me for so many years. I'm so grateful for the churches that endorse this and do this. And I know some people aren't all about it. They say, well, I don't enjoy singing. I don't get into singing. I can't sing. I think a lot of that is because we're thinking worldly thoughts. We're thinking about, well, I don't want anyone to hear my voice. Well, God calls us all to let others hear our voices because he's listening for our hearts. And so if your congregation has a singing night, whether it's a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or whatever format there are, I know there's several different times that people get together just to sing. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. And I want to encourage you, if you say, well, you know, I've heard people say, well, it's just a singing night. We're going to stay home tonight. I want to encourage you to make that night very important to your family. make that night very important to yourself and get in there and pay attention to the words of the song and let God know what's in your heart. Let your neighbor know what's in your heart. Because singing is a part of our worship. Singing is a part of our fellowship. Singing is a part of our faith in which all of us are called to contribute equally. There are no standout performers in the congregation. We together are united in praising God. And that's why singing night has so much value to me. May God bless you.